If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome to Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810. Cody Tappan for the second straight week. Jen on the other side pressing the buttons as we are at the Resurrection Car Show out here at the Church of the Resurrection. Off 137th and all, that's where we're going to be until noon today. Their event's a little bit longer than that, but come on by and see us. We've got some stuff to give away, certainly, including some, Jed, I don't know if you were wearing yours today, but some sweet Sports Night t-shirts. I've got a couple of Sports Night t-shirts for people as well. So, we're going to be here until noon. Well, broadcasting until noon. Obviously, the event is until 1 o'clock. So come by and see us here at the Resurrection Car Show. Everything, it is a by the way, it's free. So it's gorgeous outside. It's free. And so why wouldn't you come out? Delivering weekend food. All the things they're giving away and all the stuff, all the money goes to two local charities. One is just feeding people who need food, who work meal to meal here locally. And therefore, and then for car repairs, for people that can't afford car repairs because you can't keep that job. Unless you can get to that job. And so both excellent charities out here at the Church of the Resurrection Car Show. And there's so much to see. There's 170 cars. They said this is their largest registration ever. So it's a big, huge event. There's going to be a lot of really awesome things. 170 classic cars. I've already seen, I don't know, multiple like new Ferraris. And then I see a Camaro and several Mustangs in front of me. Plus one of those cars that has like the wheels that look wooden. And a big old Studebaker. I even saw somebody with like a mermaid painted on their PT Cruiser. I'm not telling people how to live their classic car life. Jed, this is, you know, whatever floats their boat, man. There's anything and everything. It shows 9 to 1. Admission is free. There'll be 6 food trucks on site as well, including Kona Ice, barbecue, brats, Mexican, and pizza. And again, all that going to great local companies. So we're here at the Resurrection Car Show. You should come see us until noon. I was also told, Jed, that there's a Ferrari on site. The co-chair of the event, Kent Baker, he's going to join us here coming up at 9:45. I said, hey, he's like, oh, I got to go. There's some exotics coming in. I'm going to go help make sure that they get set up. I said, hey, convince one of those guys to let me drive. He's like, well, I can't do that, but I'll let you drive this Ferrari. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I'll let you drive it. He's like, we just appreciate you guys coming out. So good news, Jed. I get to drive a Ferrari. Have you ever driven one?
I know, shockingly. Are you insured for something like that?
Sure.
Are you?
Right? Yeah.
All right. If you say so, man, I'll take your word for it.
I have insurance. You know, stuff's probably covered somewhere along the way.
I know that you do have car insurance. Well, I hope you have car insurance.
But I do.
I don't think that your Jetta, no offense, very nice car, is on the same cost maybe level.
Probably not. You know, probably not quite on that par, but I'm assuming they've got themselves covered. Kent, trust me, man. There's a trust between Kent and I.
I know, that's foolish on his part, but I do look forward to hearing what he has to say.
Also, if they gave you the choice, you'd still be like, yeah, okay, cool, let's do this.
Absolutely, but if someone did say, yeah, you can drive this Ferrari, I'd be like, no, you need to think way better of that decision, sir. I will gladly drive it, but you, when I wreck it, you will not be pleased with me.
You're going to really need to make this decision differently. I don't want you to be mad at me forever.
I also don't know how to drive a manual, so me tearing...
What?
Never learned, man.
Oh, man, what a life.
I don't know.
You never learned?
No, one of my older sisters had a manual car, and I think I tried driving it once and stalled it and was like, this is too hard.
I don't want to do this. This feels like a lot of work. Don't get me wrong, I drive an automatic now, but still, man, I just feel like somewhere along the way you would have picked it up, Jed. I don't know. I guess that's why I picked it up the first time. My brother drove a manual Jeep, like an old like CJ5, and I figured out how to drive it. And then also, I don't know, when I was learning to drive, like my stepdad would take me places to learn to drive a stick, even though I never really, my own car has never been a stick.
I'm a bad enough driver that I probably need just the automatic transmission. I don't need other things distracting me from keeping my eyeballs on the road.
If anything, all that's doing is doing a better job at keeping you keyed into driving, because you actually have to do stuff while driving. Generally.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, Cody. You've ridden with me. It's a harrowing experience.
It's not like driving with Seren, but sure. You know, we all have different levels of, and I take it back, his seems more like in control, like it's controlled chaos versus yours that is just chaos, right?
Absolutely.
Those are very different things. It seems like one person has it figured out and the other doesn't. But either way, you can look forward to that later. I'm going to make Charlie take a picture. We'll try to do it maybe at, I don't know, we'll make sure to send a photo up, maybe like 11 or so. We got Seth Sinovic coming up a little after 11, so maybe I can do it in the break before. And then at 10 o'clock, Jarrett Sutton will be joining us to go over some of the draft decisions that all the NBA teams made, including the one that he currently scouts for in the Mavericks. They ended up with Luka Doncic, by the way, Jed. I don't know how you feel about that, but I guess we'll find out how Jarrett feels about his team's score of Luka Doncic. Couldn't convince him to take Michael Porter Jr. at 3, I guess. So instead they had to settle for, I don't know, one of the more versatile European players ever to play, because 19-year-olds don't play in that league, and yet he did and dominated. So, you know, no big deal. So we'll talk to him at 10 o'clock for that. Ken Baker, I mentioned, the co-chair of the event, will join us at 9:45 to talk about the Resurrection Car Show as well, as we're out here at 137th and all. I did want to start with last night's Royals game a little bit, Jed, because although it, albeit just a regular, normal Royals game, except for this one, they won, so that doesn't really necessarily jump off. You know, that jumps off the page, I guess, at least based on this month's of game effort, especially against a tough Astros team. And it was a grind-out 1-0 game where, you know, they got shut down offensively again and still managed to get the run late. There were a couple things that stood out. One, we got to watch Escobar play center field, which I find to be interesting. We also learned that center fielder Alcides Escobar is a much better hitter than shortstop Alcides Escobar. I don't know if you knew that.
I did.
He got on base four times.
Yes.
Four times last night. But more important than anything, because, like, Duffy had a good game, and that's nice, and that makes, like, four of his last six that have been really solid. And one that was kind of bad, where he let up six runs about a week ago against the Astros. So seeing this team a second time didn't scream. Like, that's all good. Like, that's what we talk about for a team hunting for, you know, like, around the middle of the pack with a chance, outside chance of the playoffs. This team stinks. And so Duffy being good is nice. I don't think that it increases the likelihood he's going to be traded this season. I don't, you know, it was nice that Tim Hill closed. I don't think Alcides Escobar's future's in center. All those things are nice things, and also things that you would not have predicted. If I had made you guess in May, this would be like playing, Mad Gap? What's the name of those, like, puzzles where you just, like, fill in things, like, name a noun and it ends up being
Mad Libs.
Mad Libs, that's it. Good God. I never did them, so I couldn't think of the name of it.
You never played a Mad Libs?
No. Should we do that? Can we do a new Sports Saturday segment where we play Sports Mad Libs?
That we can do it next week. Absolutely.
Great. Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Sports Mad Libs coming next week. But it was like that, right? Center fielder Alcides Escobar scores run as Rosel Herrera robs home run and Tim Hill closes it out. That sounds like Royals Mad Libs. None of those guys were even, like, nobody's in their natural position. Two of them weren't even on the roster to start the year. Tim Hill certainly wasn't thought of as the closer. There were about five guys ahead of him for that job before the season started. Maybe six before that season started. All that's nice, but the one thing that I stood out, and I think you were talking to me before the show, Jed, pointing out that, like, maybe you called it a man crush or whatever. I was tweeting a little bit last night about Rosel Herrera, and the reason why I mentioned him is that maybe they actually found something. Like, it took us a couple of starts before we decided that on Brad Keller. Like, okay, there's a real chance they found a guy who can play in this league in Brad Keller. And then you're like, ooh, he's a pretty good reliever. And then you're like, oh, well, he can start. Rosel Herrera is starting to turn that corner for me. And I say that for multiple reasons. It's not just the robbed home run last night. He also had the triple that ended up he scored on to eventually give them the winning run, right? So that's nice. That's one game, right? Anybody can do that. We certainly, I don't remember if you remember Justin Maxwell's grand slam in the final game of the regular season.
I was at that game with Sugar Shane Summers.
Well, that's nice. So it was, you and Shane Summers kicking it at the Justin Maxwell home run game, huh?
Yeah, that was a great time.
There was some time walking out of that game and be like, ooh, maybe Justin Maxwell. I'm like, anyone can have one game. The things that I like about Rosel Herrera is, partially, he looks exactly like the kind of player they called up for a long time, isn't it? Like really good athlete who people are like, well, you know, he's got some refinement he needs to find in his game, and he'll probably find it. Kane was like that. Escobar was like that. Even Hosmer, to a point, they just, you know, like, well, he's a really good athlete, and we think it'll work out. And they've experimented with other guys, even though, you know, they haven't all worked out great, like Paulo Orlando. But Jerod Dyson, just a really good athlete who's having a good year in Arizona. So this is the type of player that they've called up multiple times that they simply didn't have in their system. And they found for free. Former top 100, you know, baseball prospect, according to Baseball America. Now, he fell out of that a couple of years ago, but a former top 100 guy. A really good athlete. Seems like he plays all of his positions well. And I don't think he's got that bad of a swing. Like, to me, I watch him, I'm like, well, it's not a bad, like, it's short, it's compact. You know, I don't think he's, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of swing and miss in there, at least in the early going. They might have actually found a guy who can play for this team. And I don't know if he's going to be a starter down the road or not, or if he's just going to end up being like the Jerod Dyson type down the road. And I know you didn't watch like every last second of the game, but you've watched him over the last week. Am I crazy for thinking that Rozell Herrera might actually have it?
Yes.
That's too bad.
He has a .278 on base percentage, the exact same as his batting average.
Yes, but
he had two strikeouts last night. You were talking about his compact swing and how you don't see a lot of swing and miss stuff. I guess maybe we're watching different things. I also revert back to the fact that the Reds gave up on him.
Yes, but the Red, but the Royals gave up on Jose Martinez, and Jose Martinez is sitting fourth
right.
for the St. Louis Cardinals. And you know what? The Tigers gave up on J.D. Martinez.
I'm not trying to say that the Reds are a model organization.
They definitely. You know where the Royals got Brad Keller from? It's the Reds. The answer is the Reds. Like, so it's, you can find players. Like, I always go back to guys like J.D. Martinez, who was DFA'd and was kind of an older, not old player or anything. But at least, people, like, he got DFA'd a couple of times. There were a few teams that were like, do we really need J.D. Martinez? Like, this guy doesn't really fit exactly what we're going for. So we're just going to let him walk. And then other teams picked him up and were like, boy, this J.D. Martinez guy can actually hit a baseball, so it turns out.
And there are stories like that all over the place. The Royals also gave up on Jose Bautista, and who knows, maybe steroids really helped him out.
And David Ortiz, maybe? Was he on that list?
I know he was in the Twins organization.
Twins, yeah, maybe that's it.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it happens. Guys find their swing later in life for whatever reason, performance enhanced or not. But, it can certainly happen.
Like, that for me is why I start to get the feeling, I start to get the feeling that there's at least a possibility that, he actually could be something. I'm not saying he's going to be J.D. Martinez. Like, let's not be crazy. But I can go back and look at his minor league stats, which is something I did. Like, okay, so if I think he can play, do I think at some point he can? And he'll strike out a little bit. I'm not pretending that he won't. Everyone does. But I think he makes good contact, in my opinion. And going back through, what was his last full year in the minors was what I was trying to say. Because the Reds gave up after 13 big league at-bats. So it's not exactly giving the guy a clean look at it by any stretch of the imagination. His last full year in the minor league, so go back to 2017 when he played a full year at AAA, he hit .278 with a .351 on-base percentage and a .394 slug. That all plays, right? I mean, especially in a 25-year-old and, like you mentioned, could find a swing. It took Jerod Dyson a long time to find a swing. But there's value in a guy like Rozell Herrera. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm not saying he's J.D. Martinez, but I actually think that he could be a part of the big, all we're looking for now is guys who can be a part of the big league roster in 4 years, right?
Those numbers are a lot more reasonable than I had thought they were.
Yeah, .278, .351, you're like, boom, that's not a bad on-base percentage, a little under .400 slug.
Well, and Seren always talks about the survival skills that he would want to see from Bubba Starling and uses Brian McRae as a comparison. If you could get that kind of production from Rozell Herrera, wouldn't you take that?
Yes.
And not to say that we'll see that, and I know I'm kind of waffling, but again, without having his minor league numbers right in front of me, to me, it's just such a small sample size, and I've seen guys, like we touched on, go on and have great careers, but I've also seen guys have an 8-game hot stretch and then never to be heard from again.
I've also seen guys hit .300 for a year and then not be that good of a hitter. His name is Paulo Orlando. He played in the field yesterday.
Bob Hamlin won an MVP, or not an MVP, but a Rookie of the Year award and never did anything. So,
well, I mean, we can, if we want to just go through Royals, we're not gonna have a hard time.
I was gonna say we only have 3 hours.
Fabulous and Angel Baroa, and if we just want to keep naming guys who looked pretty promising in the early, or how about even Mike Avilas, who had a really nice career. You go back to his first full year in Kansas City, hot damn, this guy's hitting .320. He's got a .400 on base percentage. This is the guy. Honestly, just a .275 career hitter instead. I was going back through just out of curiosity, Jed, since we were talking about Paulo Orlando, kind of seemed like a good example. He was a .276, so similar average, .309 on base percentage, and 391 slug in his full year at Omaha before coming up in 16, a lot more in 20, and that's 136 games in 15. So what? Herrera actually paces a little bit better than average, about the same on base percentage and slugging a little bit better.
The easy comp also, because they both started off with triples, Cody, so that's where you're cherry picking.
True, true. It is a natural comparison. 913-3810-810 is the number. We're going to get to a couple calls on the other side, but come see us here at the Resurrection Car Show. We're at 137th and all. There are all kinds of cool cars to look at. It's gorgeous outside. It's a free event to attend, so you can come out here. There are food trucks and everything else as well. We're at the Resurrection Car Show at 137th and all. We'll come back. We'll take a few of your calls next here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Resurrection Car Show is a, it looks like just the white version of the car from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, man. That car's sweet. We're going to talk dream cars later, Jed, because I'm surrounded by all these, and I'm curious what yours is. So get it in the back of your mind. Think about what it is you want, because we're going to talk about that later. I'm just warning you now. It's a fair warning.
I'm ready, man.
This white Corvette is quite nice. Quite nice. Free event here at the Resurrection Car Show. You can check out some photos at Sports Radio 810. I've got one posted of at least the Ferrari I was told I could drive. We'll bother Kent Baker, the co-chair of that, coming up at 9:45. I'll find out if he's really serious about that offer. And if he is, then, Jed, I'll look forward to a photo of me driving a Ferrari. This would be really good back-to-back days for me. Yesterday, I got to post a video of me slapping Mick right in the lower back. And then today, I could drive a Ferrari. I mean, I'm having a good week.
And the weather's cooled off. Yeah, it has been a good week for you.
What's to argue with here? I mean, this is really going swimmingly. You didn't think I slapped Mick too hard, did you?
No. We were talking about this during the break. I actually thought, when I initially saw the video, that you kidney punched him. And with Mick's reaction, you can see why I'd think that. But on a second review, it was an open-handed slap. And yeah, I think you hit him the appropriate amount. The spirit of the bet was him playing Getting Tough, or whatever the hell it's called, with his buddies.
That's what it's called, Getting Tough.
If he really wanted to get tough, that's the brakes.
He got tough.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say that much. He said it was the hardest one he's ever been hit. I'm like, well, were you guys ever really getting tough then? I think there's going to need to be a new game for you guys saying really getting tough.
Exactly. And with your friends, if you can't, you know, punch them or slap them or really, you know, get after them, who can you?
If you're looking for that video, it's up on my Facebook and Twitter page, and I do highly recommend it.
I'll probably retweet that too.
You will enjoy its humor. I'll retweet it too, so it'll be at the top of my page. Jet said he'll retweet it, we'll be all over it. Problem solved. Let's get to the calls though. We were talking a little bit about Rozel Herrera and why I'm not 100% sold, right? I mean, I give myself a little bit of patience on this. And I got plenty of time to figure it out with this Royals bunch, but I'm starting to feel kind of good about the possibility that they found a guy that somebody gave up on too soon. Robert, you're up next here on Sports Saturday. What's going on, Robert? What do you think about Herrera?
Yeah, hey, I was thinking the exact same thing when you're talking about J.D. Martinez. And with the Royals, what came to mind with me was Raul Urbanez. The Mariners gave up on him. We ended up getting three really good years out of him before he got paid in free agency. And the trick of this is, being second to the bottom in the overall league, we can kind of cherry pick who gets DFA. The fact that we have a roster with people we're going to trade will open up spots on the 40-man roster where we can start plucking guys off that are kind of the quadruple-A players that just haven't had enough time to try to get major league at-bats. And it's not always the Yankees and the Red Sox who are dropping these guys. The Astros weren't very good when they let Martinez go. The Mariners weren't real good when they let Urbanez go. And so sometimes you can get players from teams like the Reds that you can actually kind of put on your 40-man roster and let them hopefully grow. And so what I'm curious about is, other than the obvious people like Goins, Duda, and Moose who are going to be gone, what players do we have that would be droppable from the 40-man roster where we could start just auditioning these kind of up-and-comers who haven't had a chance?
That's a pretty good question, Robert, and I appreciate the call. Let me take a quick look. I mean, you mentioned Bubba earlier, Jed, although maybe he's the kind of person like the 40-man that, you know, just stick him on the roster if he can ever get healthy and find out whether or not he can actually do it. If he's talking about potential guys to drop off the 40, man, once they get healthy, I'll start with Boyer, right? I mean, I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but he seems like a strong possibility, at least based on that. Obviously, they've got multiple guys in the injured list, but, you know, like Maurer and some of the other guys, like you mentioned, are come back up, and Bert Schmidt was a Rule 5 guy, so I don't think they're going to turn the corner on him yet. I don't think they're going to look away from him yet. There are several guys that they'll have plenty of movement in all of this on the 40-man roster. They just will, because a lot of these guys are going to go away. And if you're saying, I don't know who all the guys they should take shots on are at this point, but I kind of like the idea of being a team that, you know, looks for talent in other places, tries to figure out whether or not, you know, all that can kind of piece together one thing at a time. So we'll find out if, I guess we'll find out if they're going to take some shots on some other guys moving forward. Good news. I mentioned we're at the Resurrection Car Show, obviously at 137th and all. Dave's Credit stopped by. Hi, Dave. Dave Skritta from the AP. You might catch all of his work on the Chiefs coverage. I don't know if you read Dave Skritta's work from the AP yet, but I'm sure
I do.
You're familiar with it.
He's been a guest on this very show, actually. Dave's a good man.
Oh, well, how nice. He's here with his daughter, sitting around in the sunshine looking at some cars. It's a fine decision on a day like this. But yeah, man, Brad Keller, I told you, and he made a good point, by the way. J.D. Martinez was on a bad Astros team. The Mariners, why are all the, like, vacant 40-man guys on the bad team? Shouldn't they be on the good? Like, shouldn't it be, like, a two-loaded good team that has a guy sitting around? Like, why are the Reds letting go of Brad Keller? It was the same thing I thought about when the Royals let go of Miguel Amante. I was like, are you sure you want to get rid of a 25-year-old with a live arm? Because I'm not sure that that's the position you're in right now.
Teams that are bad for a reason.
Yeah, bad all around, like make bad decisions.
Yeah.
Kind of,
you know, and you get money invested in certain guys, and other guys are
sure.
A little bit older and not nearly as, you know, valued as much, I guess, in whatever term you want to put it in. So therefore, I think you could just chase bad decision after bad decision when you're in the state that the Royals were at that point.
Well, and I think that some of it, you know, like especially like Jose Martinez, they were actually in a good spot then and trying to just kind of maintain it. Like with Jose Martinez, they actually didn't have the room. And some of the rumors with Rosel Herrera was they were trying to float him through the 40. Like they were trying to float him through waivers. They wanted to keep him. They needed the roster spot for the 40-man. And this happens in baseball because we've seen it happen with the Royals. We've seen it happen with other teams. There's lots of times. Whit Merrifield was available for people to claim multiple times, right? Multiple times. They made him available because he wasn't on their 40-man roster, and they didn't protect him. So it's not like I'm saying the Royals have it all figured out and other teams, because I've already told you a couple of instances where they let people sneak him. But maybe Rosel Herrera can be their example of getting this. That's all. I'm not, you know, you're right. Jetty's taken zero walks, so that's not great. And he struck out a couple times last night. He also had a pretty ripped triple, and I think he's kind of a raw bat. I think that the 278, 350, you know, average in AAA is probably a bit of a misdesign. And without knowing the ballpark he was playing in, because, like, AAA Omaha is really hitter-friendly, and AA Arkansas is not. So anytime we see a pitcher with, like, a higher ERA in AAA than he had in AA, that doesn't scare Royals fans, or at least it shouldn't, because the system is set up in a place that, you know, it's going to be harder for them to do it in AAA. Because especially if you're a lefty, you get roughed up in AAA a lot for triple, you know. So, you know, you got to know the park and all those things. Minor league stats, it's so hard. That's why I, like, trust guys like Clint Scholes, I guess, because I don't know it as well as he does. Like, the park in which they play is so much a factor in the minor leagues, it's hard to imagine. Somebody was tweeting at, like, a single A park where it was, like, 311 down the line. I'm like, how does everyone not have, like, 4,000 home runs there? It's 311. I've hit a ball 311 feet.
No, you haven't. Be honest, Cody.
I've hit one three. I didn't say I've hit one 330. I'm not sure I could ever get one out of a big league stadium. I somehow doubt it.
But minor league, you're confident in?
If it's 311, yeah. Like, I've hit a home run in a game before. I was no power hitter by any stretch of the imagination. I'm more of the Rosel Herrera type, so it turns out.
We will find a baseball field, and I'll have my buddy who played in the minors throw you some BP, and we'll see
Ooh.
If you can park one, and we will put
okay.
a wheelie bad spin on it. Same
oh,
day
man,
that I take my three-pointers.
311, that's the distance, and I get a metal bat?
Yeah, we'll work out the details.
Okay, that's fine. We can discuss this more later. Let's go back to the calls, 913-3810-8, and Brother Patrick waiting patiently on hold. How's it going, Brother Patrick?
Okay, brother, I'm blessed, thank the Lord. Glad to hear you guys back on air. My first question, on the air today, live,
Of course.
First question is to the producer here. your sister ain't driving a stick shift no more, is she?
No, she is actually one child and is pregnant with two others. She drives an automatic car. She does not need more stuff going on.
I don't think they make automatics anymore. I mean, not automatic, stick shifts anymore, do they?
Sure they do. I've seen them.
They
like, they'll still make them new, but I just think a lot of people opt out of that.
All right, let's go to the real sports then. KU, well, Chiefs, I mean, the Raws won one game, so I hope they win again soon. For KU, has Bill Self signed any, you don't have to, we won't go into basketball. I just want to know, has he signed any rookie players, freshman players, you know, for upcoming basketball season? And do we have any leaks from Mars, Jupiter, or Pluto on the AD? No expectations?
And no, I've heard nothing on the, go ahead.
Well, my other question is going to be about the Chiefs. The guy that you said got hurt from K-State, I hope it wasn't a major injury. I hope he'd be ready to go in St. Joe. And I believe you guys will be covering St. Joe when that starts, right? I'll be listening off the air. Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Brother Patrick. I still have heard nothing on Kansas AD. You got some inside stories that I don't?
No.
Okay, so were they even there? As far as rookie, like, he's got several freshmen coming in, Bill Self, including Quentin Grimes, who's kind of his blue chipper, who was on the U18 squad. But they still have an open scholarship, too. So presumably somebody else will be joining them. Just don't know who yet. So that's at least, I guess, the update on Kansas basketball, right?
Yeah, and there was speculation with LeGerald Vick not being drafted that he might be a possibility to come back. To me, that is a fan way of looking at it.
Did you hear what Self had to say about it? He did not sound very kind.
I did, and I think just having been around the program and knowing the way Coach Self operates, I think that he made it quite clear to LeGerald Vick that your time here at Kansas is done. We appreciate what you've accomplished here.
I don't think he entered the draft because he was like, I'm Malik Newman. I had an awesome 6 months. I'm going to get drafted in the second round and move on. He didn't get drafted. He ended up getting picked up by the Lakers. I think LeGerald Vick left the same way that a lot of guys leave, Bill Self, like you're talking about.
Brendan Green.
In Brandon Green, and then they were invited to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been great. You know what? We really think LeGerald Vick's had a nice career here. We think he'd probably enjoy being somewhere else. Like, it's like they always make it seem like he does a nice job. They always try to make it seem like it's mutually beneficial or that the player's also helping make that decision. But you and I both know that they sit down in a meeting and be like, hey, coming back here is not going to do any good. I don't know where you're going to play or when you're going to play, and we got these other guys we want to see, and so
LeGerald,
you should probably look at some other options.
LeGerald Vick did do a fine job for the Kansas program. I think anybody who's a fan should acknowledge that, but I was always surprised that he didn't decide to transfer to a lower-level program like a New Mexico State or something like that where he could really be the man, get the basketball in his hands, score a bunch of points, show off his athleticism, and then try and enter the draft. I know you'd have the waiting out period, but so many people transfer these days. With his athleticism, I think it could play at the next level, but I think it would certainly need quite a bit of refinement. And I think a year where he was more of the man would have behooved him.
He should transfer to UMKC is my vote.
That'd be fine. I think that'd be cool to have a high-level athlete. Not that I'm taking shots at UMKC. That's not my intention. But, you know, to have a really exciting high-level player to go and watch down at the Muni or at Swinney Rec, I think that'd be great.
Dude, he'd dominate the WAC. And it's not to say...
Isn't it New Mexico State that's real solid, though, in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I picked them.
Size. They typically have some, like, seven-footers, and they had the Bular brothers for a while, who were both, like, 7'4", Sim Bular and whoever else it was. And Grand Canyon University has been up and coming. And
yeah, with Dan Marley.
A guy with Thunder Dan Marley down there. There's plenty of guys. And, hey, man, I see, like, former Division I athletes that were, like Torrance, God, what is his last name, that was committed to Missouri probably 5 years ago. I saw him playing a game in the national championship game at the NAIA level. Now, he got in some legal trouble, and that's not the kind of trouble we're talking about with Vic, but if you're, you know, I think all those things should be on the table, right? Like, if I were Vic, I'd just be looking for the place where I could score the most points. People get picked up from those universities all the time, even if you're not going that low of level. Like, what if you sit out a year and play Dayton, right? Or sit out a year, you know, just some other Power 5 program that finds itself regularly in the tournament, I would say, would be a good fit for him, right?
Absolutely.
The same as Bragg tried to go to Arizona State. It didn't work out, but the same as he tried to go there, I think that if I were Vic, that's what I'd be looking at.
Well, and I use the example with people, and again, it's not to say that the same issues are you know, being equated here, but J.R. Giddens went to University of New Mexico and turned himself into a first-round draft pick. So anything is possible if you go to a little bit lower level and you really can work on your skills. And like you said, put up a whole bunch of stats. If you're averaging close to a double-double, even if it is at New Mexico and you're showing off this wild athleticism, you're going to get a look in the league.
Yeah, and just do anything in the tournament, man. We know what that – they always try to pretend like, well, you know, we try to look at the whole picture, but you see guys go off in the tournament, and it can boost you.
Remember Tyrus Thomas, that dude from LSU who was freak athletic and had – like, they went to the Final Four that year. I think he went number 4 overall, so it certainly does help if you have a big tournament.
And he was like a 9-point-a-game guy going into that. He was just a guy. He was like the Joakim Noah of college, which is never good because in college, if at that height in athleticism, you should just be able to score. God, man. Yeah, that's such a good point. That was LSU. I think they were – they might have been – they went to the Final Four for sure. They might have been in the finals that year. That was a really – that was a really deep team, as I recall it. God. Yeah,
and
no, that's
Big
a perfect
Baby
example,
and like, stuff
just,
like that.
Oh, yeah. Just find a team that gives you some room. I don't think Kansas is the right fit, but, yeah, they still got an open spot, Brother Patrick. They still got an open spot. Byron Pringle was one who's hurt. They're still saying he'll be ready for training camp, so we'll see if his roster spot remains available. We'll take a break here on Sports Saturday. We're live at the Resurrection Car Show at 137th and All. Tons of classic cars, and we're going to tell you more about them. Kent Baker, the co-chair of the event, will join us next here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We're at the Resurrection Car Show here for Sports Saturday at 137th and Null. It is a free event. You can come out and check all of the different exotic cars, and there are plenty of them just coming in behind a few. I'm like, boy, we must look silly in our 810 Denali, but it's a nice truck. It's a nice truck. So we were at least there. We're up here at the front if you want to come by and say hi to us, but it's a free event here at the Church of the Resurrection. You can come and check out all these classic cars, and we're here joined by Kent Baker, co-chair of the event. To talk a little bit about it. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for being a part of this event.
Hey, no problem. First off, what a gorgeous day. Like, how fortunate it is to do an outside event and get this day.
We truly hit a home run with this, and obviously auto sports are a part of sports, and you all are a perfect tie-in for this event.
Yeah, no, we really obviously we appreciate the partnership and being here for the event. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been doing it. So how long has this event been going on? The motivation behind it, sir.
This is the 16th annual event, and yes, there's fellowship, and it's an awe-inspiring sight to see all of these cars out here together. But the overriding thing that we've got behind us is how can we help people right here in Kansas City? And 20% of the proceeds of this event goes to our cars ministry, and they actually fix cars for people who can't afford to. And the way we say it is you can't hold a job if you can't get to that job. And we all take our cars for granted, many of us do, and you just jump in and it starts and you go where you need to. Not everybody is that lucky. And so we do have volunteers that spend 2 nights a week fixing cars for those that can't afford it. And so 20% of this is going toward parts and tires and helping those people get back on the road when they may be unemployed. And then 80% goes to our food ministry, and we feed City. We're supporting a dozen different food pantries along with many different elementary schools through the Back Snack program, backpacks of food every Friday for thousands of Kansas City children.
That's a lot. I don't remember if that's directly correlated. That's a lot like what Harvesters did, too. I know that, like, essentially there are so many people I've gone through and done some of that volunteer work before. It's so many people that you don't realize are food insecure, as they call it, right? Essentially, don't know where their next meal's coming from.
Exactly. And the issue, there is Harvesters, and there are plenty of other agencies, and we welcome them all. Everybody here in Kansas City, if you've been blessed and your life is in better shape than some of the other people, pick up a shovel and start digging because we've got to help. We've got to reach out. And I can tell you that the money we raise today through our sponsorships, through food truck sales, there is no admission for the program, but we will take donations if you come up. But all the cars have paid an entry fee, and all those funds are going directly to helping people right here in our city.
Which is awesome. Like, and obviously any charity that directly helps the people of Kansas City, you know exactly where it's going to help
yes.
them. When you're talking about the car stuff, God, that just makes me feel like I'm 18 again. Like, the first car I got was, I don't know, I probably paid, like, $800 for it. And, it, like, the radiator would go out, and then I'd go down to, you know, a part place where I could, like, dig it out of an old car to put a new car in. And, I'm, like, there is a lot, like, not being able to get in a car and go where you're trying to go, it's such a hassle. As you point out, like, for work purposes, just being able to get to and from, that's a really great part of it. Are you handy? Like, Do you see all these cars? You like the cars? Are you handy? Can you work on a car a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. We have many more people more qualified than I am. my co-chair, Jason Hagen, who he's the owner of Royal Auto Works here in town. He's actually the founder of the cars ministry here at the church, and he's a master's in engineering from MIT. And let's just say there's nothing you can take him that he can't fix. And so when somebody comes in with a problem and needs some help, he and his team of volunteers are the ones that really take over and do a yeoman's job on fixing those.
That's awesome. So you're like minor stuff under the hood. He's MIT, so he's major stuff under
the hood. I'm better with wood than I am with metal.
That's fine. There's no shame. Handy is one thing. You know, car handy, I always equate it to like anytime I had like orthopedic surgery. Like those guys are like mechanics. Just like, you know, it makes sense to you. It's like if you could play piano, it just kind of made sense. Car stuff is a little bit like that. Like if you like some of that engine stuff and cover it, like I can change a radiator or a hose or my oil or or brakes, right? I'm good for that. But if you need me to like change a water pump, that's where I'm at.
Well,
I got to take stuff, too many things out of the car, I'm out.
To give you the epitome of handy, we're sitting 20 feet from a Ferrari FF that Jason rebuilt on a salvage title. This thing was in a flood up to its doors, and he has worked on it for a year. And today it's its first outing. And there's pictures of it in the floodwaters, and then it's here in the flesh. This is just one of the things, the oddities that you can see. There's 170 classic cars from Lamborghinis and Ferraris to old 1920 and 30 and 40s cars. And it's hard to pick a favorite because you've got everything represented here.
Is the Ferrari the one you said I could drive?
You can drive anything you want. Our partnership with you, we are at record levels of participation because of you. And I so appreciate you being such a community partner.
No, we're really happy to be a part of it. Obviously, it helps so many different people in Kansas City. He's handing Charlie the key now, so we're going to get to drive it later. This is good news. He's going to take off. Charlie's gone. I'll close things up myself. But there are so many cars. I know you're a car guy. I know everyone here, obviously, coming out to take a look at these are really impressed. You got a few favorites? I think you know everybody's in the field. You got a few that you're like, oh, wow, that car.
I'm an Italian metal guy. It's hard for me not to look at an Alfa, a Lamborghini, a Ferrari and think that's really, you know. But I think the beauty of this sport or this hobby is that you can – different things appeal to different people. Certainly the muscle cars here, the 1970 SS Chevelle 454 just pulled in, and that was a car from my youth, from high school. And so we all have those flashbacks, those memories, and you can see them all here because everything's represented.
No, and I guess that's it. Like, no matter the generation of time you grew up, because I like some of those, like some of the ones I think are fun to look at because I like the, you know, Ferrari. It's hard not to like a Ferrari, Lamborghini. Some of the ones that I always kind of entertain to look at are some of those like 50s, 60s, like British model cars that have such unique features. It seems like there's so many different types and shapes and varieties of those. I'm always kind of fascinated by that model.
Well, this isn't a British car, but there is a Ford GT here that's a British model. It's right-hand drive.
Oh,
and
weird.
It's a legitimate race car. That was developed to race at Le Mans, and we've got one up here, and they've got the hood cracked, and you can see everything.
Have you ever driven a right-hand
car? Yes,
yeah?
I have, and,
okay.
And just about got me killed in England.
Like, I tried it for a second. I feel like that threw me off, at least just a little bit for that. I want to ask you, you know, you mentioned this is the 16th year. We're talking about the different events to go with it. You know, how many, you know, 170 cars? You said that this is, you know, like typically, you know, how many more is this than normal? And obviously I'm mentioning this to the people who might have a classic car that want to be a part of this event moving forward. I mean,
yeah,
you'd like this to keep growing, right?
Absolutely. My goals, we've got 200 or 300 up here, but more than quantity, this, you know, we're not trying to operate a big box store. This is about doing it right, that if the volunteers leave here and they've had a great time, if the participants enjoyed what they did, if everything worked out and we had a good time, then we're going to have the number we're supposed to have.
Sure.
And ultimately, we're going to raise what we're supposed to raise. So we don't take this big box mentality. We're not trying to make it a factory, but certainly more is better. We'd love to have you come up and join us.
I know that, you know, I've been to a couple of these car shows here and there, obviously. The more people who participate, the better off we can help some of these charities. You've also got some food up here as well. I just want to let people know what's available. You've got...
We've got two up and running right now. There's going to be four more within the next hour. So we'll have six food trucks, everything from barbecue and brats to Italian and Mexican and Kona shave ice. So bring the kids, finish a Little League game, come on by, see some cars, and bring the family to lunch.
This is Kent Baker. He's the co-chair of the event. We're at the Resurrection Car Show here at 137th and Null. Don't forget, it is a free event. Obviously, it is gorgeous outside, so there's no reason not to get outside and come see us here at 137th and Null. And all the proceeds go to, as he mentioned, one of the charities. 20% of the cost goes to help fix people's cars who can't get them fixed themselves to make sure that they're secure in what they're doing job-wise. And then the other 80% goes to feed people here in the Kansas City area. I know it said deliver over 100 tons of food per year to local food pantries. And how important that is, I you know, it's so easy to... like sometimes you'll see the videos or like help. It's so easy to forget about how many people here in Kansas City obviously need this exact type of help. And so we really appreciate, obviously, everything you're doing for them, Kent. Did you, I guess, last thing, I'm curious now, what's your favorite car you've ever been in? You've ever been in, you personally. Ooh, tough to call, huh?
Yeah, it really is. I'd have to. You should have told me that. I'd have to think about
you
that.
Think about it. How about?
No, I'll give it to
like
you.
Been like in a Batmobile or anything?
No, I'll give it to you. If everybody remembers the punter Brian Barker from the Kansas City Chiefs,
yeah.
He has been a big proponent with Brumo's Porsche down in Jacksonville, and he's also a race car driver. And I was in a turbo Porsche 911 with him, and that is still to this day the fastest I've ever taken a corner. And Brian Barker drives just like he punted when he was with the Chiefs, and that is the fastest ride I've been in.
How fast?
It around that corner we were probably doing 90. It was and you should have done 30. It was incredible.
Well, he took care of you. You're fine, right?
He did.
Boy, that sounds like fun. Porsche race car. That doesn't sound like a bad bet at all. Kent, I really do appreciate the time. This is an awesome event. You come see us at 137th and Null at the Resurrection Car Show. There are so many cars and more to come. Anything and everything in between. I mean, I'm looking at GTs right now. I said, is it Corvette here? This first one, right? This white one?
Yes, absolutely. That's about a 66.
God, it's a nice car. Like, it came up. I said, it kind of looks like the red version or the white version of that car from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I think is like a 67.
And the from Ferris Bueller,
yeah.
that was a Ferrari Daytona.
Oh, it was a Ferrari. Okay,
absolutely. Come on.
I'm sorry.
With the license plate, Nervous.
Well, it's a beautiful car. And that is a lot of beautiful
cars. And that is the Ford GT I mentioned right next to that Vette.
That's the British?
That's the British right-hand drive.
Okay, well, when I get off, when we take the break, then I'll have to go take a look at
Absolutely.
It because I'm deadly curious. Kent, we really appreciate it. The event is awesome, and I hope people come out and see us here at the Resurrection Car Show. Thanks so much.
We appreciate you very much. Thanks.
No problem. Kent Baker, he's the co-chair of the Resurrection Car Show here in, we're at the Church of the Resurrection at 137th and Null. So come by and see us. The event is until 1, right?
Yes.
Okay, until 1 o'clock. So you got plenty of time still to see us. There'll be food trucks. So you can grab lunch while you're out here as well. Walk around and see some awesome, awesome cars. And some awesome people on an awesome day. There's nothing not to like about it. Kent Baker, we appreciate the time again, and we'll be back. We got to take a break. We'll come back. Jarrett Sutton will join us next here on Sports Saturday to talk about the NBA draft reaction from over on Thursday, including the guys they took for the Mavs. So we'll do that next here on a Sports Saturday. As again, we are at the Resurrection Car Show, 137th and Null. We're going to be broadcasting live until noon. You can come by and see us. Until then, the event is until 1 o'clock. That's where you can check out all these fine cars and find out if I get to drive a Ferrari here soon enough, right? Might as well find out, right? I really had the key for a minute. It's like just long enough to feel like he had a chance, right? Just long enough. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Jarrett Sutton next year on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.